Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy, for what you do and spreading the word, because I think that listening to somebody else that's done what you're planning on doing kind of takes some of the pressure off, because you see people that have done it their own way and you can pick an idea up here or there. Because there is no one way to do things. Everything I've learned is through either experience or other people's experiences. I mean, I learned a lot in college, but I forgot most of it by the time I got out because it was rote memorization. But when I got into, you know, IBM and the Fleetwood, that's when I really learned about business.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's mentor guest is very, very special. You've heard him speak behind the mic before. He's my sound engineer, videographer, photographer, journalist, and spiritual director, Mike Cabella. Bonjour, mon frère de notre âme.
Bonjour, ma soeur.
Oh my gosh.
Bonjour, ma soeur. Comment ça va?
Ça va bien, et toi?
Je vais bien, merci. Merci, je suis content d'être ici.
Oh my gosh, what was that?
I'm happy to be here.
No, that's terrific. Yeah. So, Mike joined We Mentor, if you don't know, and I'll include our other conversations in the show notes. And you recently heard his son, Bobby Cabella.
Yes.
The musician on the podcast, because he released a new
EP.
EP.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Winona Ryder song after her.
Yes.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has her musings behind it. Anyways, in 2015, you joined We Mentor. You and I kind of launched into this We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been 5 years.
Wow.
Going to six now.
Yeah. And we've tipped over 150,000 podcast downloads.
Oh, my God.
Boom. Bam.
That's a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to keep, you know, making sure that our conversations are really valuable to the listeners and are really authentic. And the listeners gave me some feedback saying, "Where's Mike? What's happening with Mike?"
Oh, really?
We want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I talked with you and we decided, you know, let's do a show together and let's start 2021 with kind of sharing our learned lessons from 2020.
Beautiful.
And you're in person. You're the first, like, in-person interview I've had,
wow.
Right, since COVID started.
That is great. March. That's an honor for me to be the first guest in 2021.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, live.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Like, not only the first guest, but the in-person guest.
First in-person guest.
Wow, almost a year.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been through a lot together, a lot of ups and downs. And so I'd like to share a little bit more to what we're looking forward to in 2021, along with our learned lessons from last year, because unpacking that is one of the components of to mastering self-leadership.
Absolutely.
Is to really know yourself well. And to do that, you kind of have to mine the lessons that you've learned, which takes a lot of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you been doing with the reflecting on your learned lessons for 2020?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, thank you for having me here again.
Yes.
It's quite an honor to be the first guest speaking on the mic, because we've been recording all this time through the phone. And it's just great to be here. What have I been learning, or what did I learn in 2020? Lots of things. I want to say, to begin with, two words.
Yeah, what were your two words for 2020?
For 2020. The first is going to be fragility.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
Yes. And the second is going to be fear. But I wanted to put fear / awakening.
Yeah.
I don't know if you wanted me to say something about those two, but...
Yeah, go for it.
I think 2020 was this the culmination of a number of years, actually, of fragility living in America, I guess. Most people felt like something was coming up. You know, there were a lot of uncertainty going on as far as lots of things were concerned, notably the politics, the health conditions, etc. So there were a lot of fear going on.
Yeah.
There were a lot of fear going on, especially in the bodies of immigrants, new immigrants like myself.
Yeah.
But then Corona bobbed up. We've been used to live with that, you know, almost that certainty that if you had to get sick, you'd go to the hospital and see your doctor and they can deal with it more or less. You know, we had that hope.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this little minute being that comes up and that just shifts everything.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows exactly what it is, how it works.
Yeah.
You know, how to counteract it.
Yeah.
What a moment of uncertainty.
Yeah.
You just feel like everything turns upside down. Like, yeah, we were thinking, we were so advanced in science and all of that. And all of a sudden, nobody knows what's going on or how to resolve a problem.
Yeah.
And at the same time, thousands and thousands of people are dying on a daily basis.
Yeah.
What a moment of fragility.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you listen to yourself and pay close attention to what's going on kind of in the air, you feel like this is a huge call. It's a moment to become awake again and to realize, well, life is just not material stuff. Life is more than that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, you know, there could be a lot to be said about it.
Yeah.
I just want to stop there for now.
Yeah, yeah.
What would be the two words for you for 2020?
Three. Mine were devastation.
Oh.
Just grappling with all the loss of everything going on.
Yes.
And I'll talk a little bit more about how close to home that was. Mm-hmm. And resiliency. I was just really impressed with the resiliency that we have within ourselves to pull together where there's heroes showing up in all these, you know, different places, hospitals and
absolutely
in our neighborhoods and amongst friends and just the broader, you know, society, people stepping up to do the right thing. Yeah, amongst the devastation, I felt like there was this resilient spirit, like we're going to get through this. And I feel since the vaccine has been out now, I'm feeling like there's some momentum building of hope.
Yes.
And what are you projecting for your words for 2021, this year?
I'm thinking about two other concepts that I think somehow go hand in hand with what I spoke about regarding 2020. And those two words will be the present or living in the present.
Mm.
And the other word is going to be creativity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Slash I like that.
Expression or expressing oneself.
Ooh.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. And the way I tie all these concepts together is that, like I said, we experience deeply that sense of fragility.
Yeah.
Which goes to say we don't quite know what's the future, no matter what stage of development of technology we might have.
Yeah.
No matter how much money we might have in the bank.
Yeah.
Life is somehow fragile. So it's good to remember to be living in the present because this is the moment that we actually own.
Yeah.
the past is something past.
Yeah.
And we cannot totally own the future.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking about the coronavirus here, or I alluded to it somehow. Who saw this coming? Who would have imagined that we'd stay a whole year in our houses?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it never was something we could have even imagined. Like, no, that's never going to happen to us.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you'd think the minute it would show up, some scientists will come up with a quick solution and that would be it.
Yeah, right.
No.
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 It was not the case at all.
Here we are. I stayed home for about a year. And only went to work very few times, less than 10 times in this whole year.
Wow.
You
yeah.
know, doing everything from home. And I would come here and record with you, but we'd still, you know, be the two of us in the studio, but having to call the guests through the phone and all of that. Who saw that coming?
Yeah. And we had to take a little time in at the end of March and April to kind of assess what's going on.
Exactly.
I looked at some podcast statistics across the country,
mm-hmm.
and they all plummeted. Like from mid-March until through April, the lowest numbers of listeners in any podcast venue ever, unless they were, you know, talking about the coronavirus. I think everybody was paused, like, what is going on? And oh my God, you know, we have to, like, we had to get set up with Matthew at home because I've always home officed.
Yes.
And, you know, didn't have the right computers and, you know, what's the space? And Olivia's at home, you know, more than ever, which we were grateful for being a senior. But at the same time, it was like, who's going to be where, when?
Exactly, exactly.
You know, the logistical things of things.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
So what was happening for you?
But let me finish first with the creativity part.
Oh, yeah.
The other second word. And it goes along with the awakening that I mentioned earlier.
Mm.
I guess the beauty of it, I mean, apart from the fear and all the trauma it brought, like the pandemic, what all that brought about, it brought at the same time also the awakening. It helped us to realize, at least for people who took the time to kind of, like you said, sit down and reflect and wonder what's going on, what's the next chapter here?
Yeah.
You know, when you reflect like that, you realize that we're not only the body. Mm-hmm. We are also something else. Yeah. Not depending on whether you believe or not, you might talk in terms of the soul. We are this other part. And we realize there's that inner part of us that we can listen to.
Yeah.
And that's why I personally chose to phrase it in terms of, you know, creativity.
Mm.
I think there's more inside that we can make come out and express that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
exactly.
To be true, I just thought, okay, it's probably time for me to realize that I need to materialize every single talent I have.
Yeah.
And put it to work for the good of humanity.
Ooh.
You know, no matter how tiny might be that contribution.
Yeah.
But it's going to be something.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I can't wait to hear more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But not to go back to your other question, what was happening for me?
Yeah.
You know, I am I'm a technical person. You know, I go to work at the U and basically my job is to meet with people, talk with them, resolve their problem, technical issues and all of that. That's
with
kind of my job. With presentations,
yeah.
All these things, technical things, you know.
Big scale.
Yeah. Yeah. Discuss with, you know, artists, musicians and help them out with sounds and all these things. And I have an office at the U, of course, but I wouldn't say I spend more than 4 hours a day at my desk doing stuff. It's really, you know, when I need to do administrative stuff or reply to emails, you know, discuss with clients on their needs and stuff like that, that I have actually to sit at my desk. Otherwise, I'll be in a sound booth somewhere working or just, you know, working directly with clients.
Yeah.
Now, with the advent of the pandemic, I found myself having to work from home, which was really traumatic for me.
Yeah.
really traumatic. And I could tell my body was just not liking it.
Ah.
My body just didn't like it. You know, I love to talk to people. I'm a, you know, yeah. I love to converse right, with
exactly.
people. That's my nature.
Yeah.
Now, staying there and having to sit, you know, in my studio and go on a meeting on Zoom and talking to my colleagues and my supervisor and all of that, I'm just like, oh my God, this feels like the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And plus, when you're used to, you know, walking like that, I probably walk miles every day, you know, in the building, going up and down, especially when the events are going on, like you have 3, 4, 5 events going on in a day.
Yeah.
Then you're pretty much running all day long.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, poof, all of that is cut out. You're sitting then at your desk all day long? No way.
Yeah.
Body just didn't like it.
Right. Yeah,
my
not
body didn't like it.
Movement and...
But the good side of it is probably that, you know, I had more time to be with my wife and my kids.
Four boys,
yes. I had more time to actually, you know, have a serious conversation with each and every one of them regarding their lives, aspirations, and what they're thinking to do in their future and stuff like that. So we were just bumping into each other, you know, every now and then, every minute, every day.
Yeah.
We've had the time to talk a lot.
Yeah.
And probably that helped a lot with Bob, you know, my oldest son, who's becoming, you know, a professional musician now.
Yeah.
Just to get to understand better his career, whatever he's getting into, his contacts with labels and all these guys, you know, lawyers that, you know, all these people he's been dealing with, and kind of get to understand that and be involved a little bit in his life.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that everything is working all right. So
yeah.
I would say that was kind of the plus side of it.
The silver lining part
of it, yeah. So not everything was very bad.
Yeah.
You know, some of the aspects were actually good, not to mention that ability to actually sit down and interiorize, think, and reflect. And have the time to, you know, like when you're staying in your bed, you think, you play a little classical music that's going on, and you meditate, and you think about life and all these things. That was the beautiful part of it, you know, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think on our end too, there was those silver lining moments.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So what was another significant learned lesson for you during 2020?
Well, as far as my work was concerned, you know, be it with you directly here or even with the U or Wisdom West Center for Spirituality, I noticed a huge shift in how I'm going to be working from now on.
Yeah.
You know, even pre...
Because it wasn't going to be just a couple months.
No.
This is like a new way now of being.
Yeah. You know, I mostly work in event planning type of thing, you know. But with the advent of the pandemic, everything was canceled. You know.
Yeah. Plus, you had your Kabia Media.
Yes,
you know.
But even that too is basically related to events somehow.
Right, weddings and
most of it. Yeah. A big part of it is related to events. So most of this stuff was canceled, and then came the advent of so everything was shifting to an online streaming type of situation here.
Yeah.
You know, Zoom came slightly, I want to say, before the pandemic. And even before that, we used to have other platforms like Skype, etc.
Yeah,
you know, for many years.
Like,
yeah.
Interviews on through Skype, yeah.
Exactly. But with the advent of COVID, it was a done deal. It was just like, this is the new way now, you know. This is the new way. And along with that, the streaming abilities.
Yeah.
So what I've learned is to shift some of my work to the ability to be streaming. Some of the direct stuff.
Okay.
Live stuff and combining Zoom with other more advanced software that are not used by, you know, commonly by people, you know, Zoom is very good and the quality of the video is very good, the sound as well, but it has some limitations. So if you combine it with something like OBS, then it can become very interesting. You know, I can use multiple cameras to show you that you pretty much look like you are on a TV with graphics on the fly directly like that.
Is that what the news use?
Oh, yeah. Some of them use those,
I'm like really amazed at the quality of people calling in and I mean all their interviews.
Yeah. So that's what I'm into right now. I just ordered a number of equipment for the youth that we're using in our department, along with my supervisor. And this is very good. You look pretty much like on a TV, you know, with graphics and everything going on, multiple cameras and stuff like that.
So are some activities going on now again?
Somehow, yes. And I must say that people are just getting used to this too. You know, a lot of people were not informed about this. Even, you know, for some people, they still feel, oh, I'm good with my Zoom. But the minute you see what the other technologies can do, you know, when you throw in a video mix or you throw in OBS or other software that do kind of the same thing, you realize, oh my God, there's still better out there that I don't know, you know? So, I did a few of those this time, you know, with concerts, you know, students at the U, for example, you know, broadcasting them live with beautiful picture and multiple cameras and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, we started getting more clients, you know, interested in that. I think that's going to be the future. That's going to be the way. We're not going back to what we used to be, for sure. But human beings will still experience the need for socialization.
Yeah, and gathering. And gathering. Yeah, for big events.
That's not vanishing. My gut tells me it's going to be even go crazy the minute people realize, oh, we are safe again.
Yeah, you know? Right.
People are going to be having parties like every weekend.
I know,
you know?
Right?
You know, all night long, people are going to be spending a lot of time in bars and stuff like that. Because we are social animals.
Yeah.
We are social animals. So that's not going away. It might be even increased to some degree. But technology-wise, you're not going back if you know Zoom now.
You know,
you're not going back. If you see this beautiful way of expressing yourself, you're not going back. That's here to be.
Well, and I think that everybody's had more patience because we're all learning.
Yes.
You know, like for my business, I was all in person.
Exactly.
So all of a sudden now I got to run my labs and do individual work. And so I started, working that out and getting comfortable with it.
Yes.
You know, I actually really enjoy it now.
Yes.
But at first, it was just really difficult.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What else did you learn?
Well, With the business, I just learned from also working with clients. I was just really impressed with how they were reinventing themselves and becoming resilient and trying out all different kinds of things. You know, whether it be in the restaurant business and quickly turning around and doing takeout and delivery and, you know, to, anyone in their professional who services arena who hadn't already been online just went in droves online. So people are so much more receptive.
Okay.
In huge numbers of taking classes online and everything. And students are, you know, getting used to that and young kids.
Yes.
So I don't think technology will replace the real experience. But I do think that when we have complications or like when our weather becomes more and more severe with climate changes, I think that, you know, technology will be our saving grace in all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no going back as far as technology is concerned. Yeah, that's my gut and my take on it, really.
Yeah.
There's no going back.
Yeah. So, and that's part of the good thing.
Yeah.
What was another thing you learned this year, this last year?
Well, I think, again, it's going to be, What I probably alluded to when I spoke, when you asked me the first couple of questions here, it's just a great sense of uncertainty, I think. That's a big take for me for 2020. Nothing has to be taken as granted. No.
Right. Nothing we can take for granted at this point. The fabric of our society was ripped out underneath us.
Yeah. You just named it. You know, freedom, for example, is not to be taken as granted.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You cannot think, oh, we have 200 years of experience of democracy. That's about it. There's nothing to do. It's going to be always here. Not so sure about that.
Right. And it comes down to what was one of my big lessons was the heroes and heroines.
Yes.
You know, who saved our society, who have stepped up in the nursing professions and the doctors and the first responders and firefighters and all these traumas we've had too, you know, with the fires out in California and then we had bad weather in the South with flooding and all these things going on, and they're little angels amongst us.
Yes.
You know, these heroes that are just showing up in huge numbers, even to save our democracy.
Yes.
Political stalwarts in the positions of upholding the law, no matter how much intimidation from the administration, outgoing administration. The key word, outgoing. They're going out, man. I don't know how it's going to shake out in a few more days, but I mean, it's been really, you know, as it began, you know, very disruptive and uncertain. And so I'm looking forward to more stability, but I'm really encouraged with, I think that more of us need to be the heroes. Mm-hmm. In our own families, in our own neighborhoods.
Yes.
And the more of us that can step forward in these really prominent roles that are needed and step up in our own lives, I just think the whole fabric of our communities and our democracy and the world around us will benefit from all the efforts that we put forth.
Yeah, thank you. You'll find the key word there, the heroes. You know, it's like when we want to hit the bottom and all of a sudden some people come up, you know,
good
willing.
Yeah.
And helping.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, the words for 2021 are recovery and resurrection.
Okay.
So it's kind of like on the same theme of you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we need to recover from what we've experienced and really use this opportunity to resurrect our whole world.
Wow. Wow. Say more about it.
Okay.
You know, those resonate so beautifully, you know.
Oh, great.
Recovery and resurrection.
Well, to come up with that, I kind of went back to where was I in January, because you and I were like, okay, let's try to like mine the learned lessons that we had from last year.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh my God, okay. So my learned message was that when I reflect, I learned how severe psychological distress.
Yes.
Affects relationships.
Of course, yes.
And has been a major disruptor in all of our lives. And it's all based on leadership and not really trusting the leadership. And so I think about January 7th of last year. I had just finished a client meeting when I noticed that there was a call on my phone with my dad. My mom has dementia. She's no longer here, which was part of what happened last year. Every time with dementia, you kind of go through like a stabilizing after there's a slow deterioration of how dementia kind of takes over your brain functionality.
Yeah.
And so my mom had reached a point where what I have come to understand is when your brain can't complete one part of a task, like let's say you're cooking something.
Yes.
It can't do the whole, you can't do any of the cooking. Like, you know, because the process has been disrupted and you can't kind of pull the chain back. And so she ended up like not cooking. And so, and then there would be like these situations that would happen where she couldn't cook and it'd be like a crisis.
Yes.
And then we would, you know, my dad would need to figure out what help he needs next. And of course, we can look at this logically later and say, oh, yeah, I get what's happening. But what happened on January 7th, I was sitting in my car when I got my dad's message. And then I called him back, and my dad had said that he just dropped my mom off at the Mother of Mercy Nursing Home in Albany, Minnesota, which was about, you know, an hour, not quite an hour and a half drive for me, away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And none of my four siblings knew anything about it. And so I just reconstructed my day. He was crashing. So he was having a serious breakdown. So he said, don't worry about mom. I got her, you know, taken care of. And I said, huh? He goes, I got to get home and get some sleep. And I said, you made the right decision. He couldn't handle it anymore. And he didn't know how to put together the help that's needed. And so I went in, and it was a phenomenally traumatizing experience because it resonated to me like, is this what a woman's worth is? You're dropped at the curb without anything and left in, you know, people's hands who you don't know. He, you know, it was just awful. You know, this is what happens when you're a caretaker, right? You can totally lose your mind.
Yes.
And with dementia, you know, it's not being a hero if you're losing your mind in the process.
Yeah.
You know, the macho attitude of, you know, I can handle this,
yeah,
you know, doesn't serve people well. Anyways, from that point forward, it was just kind of awful. And my fragile mother, who was 82 pounds at the time and 7 weeks later was down to 73 pounds when she finally passed away two weeks after my dad had gotten her home from the nursing home. But it was just a very traumatic experience. And I thought, you know, my dad was experiencing severe psychological distress.
Yes.
And as a result of his actions, we were also experiencing these things.
Yes.
And I wasn't clear about what was going on at the time. I just knew I needed to take care of my mom. So I became my mom's advocate. Psychology today defines that this kind of intensity as severe psychological distress follows any terrible or life-threatening event.
Yeah.
So sufferers may develop emotional disturbances as extreme anxiety, anger, sadness, survivor's guilt, PTSD. Ongoing problems include sleep or physical pain, encountering turbulence in personal and professional relationships, and feeling a diminished sense of self-worth due to the overwhelming amount of stress. And during that time, the relationship with my dad totally imploded.
Yeah.
And it reflected all of the times in which our family's been in crisis. And it's always happened, you know, because we're never, you know, we just never learn from the experiences. Anyways, so she was in the nursing home for the assisted living for 7 weeks. And then my dad was able to take her home because the nursing home and I was saying, you cannot, well, not me particularly, but I was telling the nursing staff, he needs to make sure he has the right help at home before you left them at home.
Yeah.
And they said that that's part of their protocol. Because I said, he will get the help, but he needs exactly to know exactly what.
Yeah.
So he followed through on that. And that helped everybody kind of come together in their last days, except for my family. We weren't there in the way that we would have liked to have been just because my dad was just too so mean. I just couldn't handle it. But I realized that not only was, you know, that it was a family dynamic that kind of was triggered. And I've also noticed that all of us have been experiencing severe psychological distress from all that we've been experiencing this year.
Yeah.
And so it's taking us a lot more time. Thank God we're at home now because we need more time to deal with all the traumas and disturbances and turbulent times that we had last year. And so I'm kind of impressed with the resiliency and the adaptability. And I also want to say that my dad was emboldened by Trump in his worst self. It brought out this horrible aspect about himself and inequality with and just disrespect for women. And I just feel like, you know, that was not something I had anticipated would happen with a leader like, you know, he will not be named here type leader. And so I just feel like that was a horrible situation, and I had extra things to go through as a result of an administration that has totally denigrated every aspect of who we are as human beings and who we are as a democracy. And so I will never back down on that. But I think part of the issue, too, was he reinforced the lack of coming to the truth of what people experience.
Yes.
And so if you don't go back and sort out what the truth is of what you're experiencing and sort that out, like this really happened.
Yes.
My dad told me he was mad at me because I disobeyed him when I brought on that very day. I went to his house. Now I called it his house, the king of the throne, to get a few pictures and some clothes for my mother. And he wouldn't even let me in the house initially. I mean, it was just so, and then I was hostage there with him yelling at me for an hour and a half. And so it was like, you know, when those types of incidents happen, if you've got a good relationship, you can recover from it. But when you've got a struggling relationship like my dad and I have always had, it just totally implodes. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. And so I'm just feeling like going into 2021, I'm also, you know, on the receiving end of the severe psychological distress. And I'm confident, you know, that I will squeeze every learned lesson of a gem of a pearl that's possible and, you know, integrate it into my being to become a better person and also to become more, to deeply, you know, I want to deeply understand what happened.
Oh my God.
And not only was it that, but also the gravity and horror of all the losses. Like George Floyd's funeral was on the day that my daughter Olivia, our daughter, sorry, Matthew, our daughter Olivia graduated from high school on a virtual screen. So I had watched the funeral, sobbing, horrified. And then I had to, like, you know, be present for my daughter, which then, you know, was, I was not in a very good frame of mind.
Yes.
And then I watched her, she was vice president of her class of 400 some students, give a virtual presentation.
Yeah.
And her grandmother, Helen,
I did watch that
us.
Too.
And we watched that, and I was trying to be present, available to, you know, acknowledge that. And I just was like a mess. I just, you know, and you're taking pictures and you're like, what the heck is going on? And then it's continued, like it's never gotten better. And all of a sudden we're over 330,000 people have lost their lives. And that's just in the United States.
Yes.
You know, it's like you accumulate it around the world. So anyways, that was kind of in my mind. And I think part of my sanity was meditation. I don't think I, you know, and people like you and Matthew and Olivia and, you know, some other close friends that I just, you know, kind of had to like help me through this. I mean, this is hard.
that's deep stuff right there. But, you know, I'm glad it sounds like you handle it pretty well. You know, being even able to trace all these stories the way you trace them out and understand the ins and outs and what might have caused this trauma, et cetera, et cetera. Understanding your dad, that's love. You know, you're speaking from, you know, love.
Yeah, I do love my dad.
Yeah. That in itself is so curative. And it, you know, I want to say you're so blessed to even be able to see that. Because, you know, you can't be cured or healed unless you actually see what's going on.
Yeah, and you thread the, but that's where people get tripped up, right? We don't want to go into that pain because it's
exactly.
ugly, it's icky,
exactly.
it doesn't feel good.
You need to deal with it.
Yeah.
Or it's going to deal with you for the
exactly.
rest of the time.
Who do you want leading?
Who do you want leading, you or it?
Your shadow self. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, here you are, spiritual director.
Oh, my God.
Your insights and wisdom have gotten me through this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Times have been complicated and so tough, but here
well,
we
and
are.
As if it wasn't hard enough, what happened to you and your family this fall?
Well,
last fall.
I tried to speak about it. I felt like I was not very stable, but I'm going to speak about it anyway.
Yeah. I know, because you're still recovering from it.
Yeah, experience the pandemic. I mean, the coronavirus visited our family.
Yeah.
You know?
The ugly intruder.
My wife and I and four of our boys. That one morning, we got a call as we were still in bed by our oldest son, who had traveled to Chicago, and one of the persons they play with in the band happened to be positive. And so my son was woke up in the middle of the night with a headache and a fever going on. And then he's calling us on the cell phone to say, hey, I'm not feeling okay. But I just got a call now that this friend here tested positive with COVID. Well, that was devastating.
My God.
My wife, who is diabetic, couldn't help it, but got a serious cry in the bed.
Oh, my God, of course.
In the morning, yeah,
like
in the morning.
She's feeling...
Yeah.
Vulnerable.
Now,
fragile.
We don't have the greatest house in the world. And there's just no way we could imagine that even one of us would stay untouched. Just six of us in a small place.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't quarantine very well.
No. How do you do that?
Yeah.
So there was nothing to do but, you know, pick up your courage, and I called everybody in the sitting room. I'm like, okay, let's take a deep breath here. We're going to have to face this. And there's no solution out there. You know, we have medical insurance and all of that, but that won't help. There's no doctor you can call who gave you any extraordinary advice better than what we know already.
Yeah.
Like taking your vitamin D3 and drinking water and maybe relax and all of that. I talked to them for a while just to encourage them because there was a total panic. All the kids were really concerned about their mom, and so was I.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where I say it's good sometimes to know how to tap into your inner power.
Yeah.
And just listen to your gut. Something just told me, okay, we're just going to have to accept this and see what it has to do, you know?
And you didn't reject it. I mean,
that's
really important. You accepted it so you could move into action with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I took all the family to the place, one of the places where they're, you know, testing for COVID. And indeed, quite enough. I mean, when the results come back, three of us positive. My wife and two other boys. Me and two of the other boys test as negative. But the next day, I start experiencing the symptoms myself. And I was like, okay, at this point, we know we all have it in this house. We're just going to do whatever we can to maintain the mental, you know, in a good place.
Yeah.
And avoid to take a huge panic and all of that. So I shut off the TV, told the kids, there's no CNN going on here with all these flashing numbers, you know, reminding you that, you know, today 10,000 died, tomorrow 15,000 or whatever.
Right.
We stay away from that.
Yeah. And to preserve your mental state of mind.
To preserve, because that's what you got to do. That's
it. Right.
We realized that's the only medicine we had at our disposal. Just the state of mind and the power of will.
Yes.
So, Sylvie was very affected and took my wife, that's my wife, and I took the time to be with her all the way and encourage her a lot. The kids recovered very quickly in a matter of, say, two days or so. I got stroke for a good 2-3 days with severe pains in the body, fevers, all of that, crazy congestions, you know, going on. But all of that is nothing compared to the panic and just the idea that so many people are dying at this very moment.
Yeah.
And there's no solution for the disease.
Yeah.
So it was a tough time to go through.
Yeah.
Tough time. You almost felt like you died and you came back up to life, like Jesus Christ type of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
You had your own resurrection.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow, so scary.
And I couldn't even imagine. So the other crazy idea was, okay, what if the six of us are now completely stuck to bed? Who's going to help who?
Yeah, like
what's going to happen? Because we couldn't let anybody in the house.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and you didn't have the strength to go shopping.
Yes.
So what happened?
Oh, my God. Well, there are some heroes, some angels around, including Nancy Meyer, who, you know, thank you. I have to say thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
On the air, so you know, for bringing some soup, hot soup to us, some bread and stuff like that. That's how we survived, you know. Some of our close friends, there's you, there's my kids' friends' parents brought some food. There's a teacher at Edison High School who like three times came over with a bunch of stuff that she bought with her own money. She would just call my cell phone because I was the only one responding pretty much.
Yeah.
And she would say, hey, I left some food at the door. Can you make sure you grab it? Is there anything I can do? Whatever. And I was just like, thank you. That's all we could do.
Yeah.
So that first week, I think the kids started feeling better and me too. But I was just super tired, super tired.
Yeah.
Sometimes sleep for 12, 14 hours. You don't even realize it, you know. Because you're just so tired. You're just so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of observing this or being with you kind of, you know, remotely.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised at the degree of difference. So you're all in the same household.
Yes.
But you all had the degrees of severity were really different.
Very different. Two of my boys never had any symptoms to this day. And the four of us were sick, and mostly my wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I was very stubborn. You know, like kind of say you have to relax when you have to sleep a lot. I thought that didn't work for me. So I did as we do it in Africa. You know, sometimes, you know, having experienced malaria, one of the things we used to do is some of the people will cover with sand themselves and inhale some hot vapor and stuff like that. And that would help.
Oh, so have a shawl or scarf over your
yes,
head?
And yes,
then, okay,
yeah, and absorb that. Yeah, the steamy
from the
stuff.
Tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was involved in sports back home, and we had a different way of doing it. You put your kimono, you go outside, you run until you sweat.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of takes away some of the, you know, viruses.
Intensity
of it. And you just figure, that's what I did. Oh. Despite all the pain, I put on my kimono. I went in the sitting room. I did some karate demonstrations and stuff. And I would sweat. And I still think that might not be, a scientific theory, but I think it did help me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Every time I sweated like that, my congestions kind of went down.
Yeah.
And my fever, too, actually dropped.
Oh.
Every time I did that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
My fever dropped really every single time I did that.
Huh.
So, I don't know if I can advise people to do that, but it worked for me.
Well, if I get it, I'm doing it. The works for you, my buddy.
Yeah. But that also helped me maintain kind of my strength, because I was like, even if we have to get very sick, all of us, there's got to be somebody to stand up and able to take care of somebody here.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It was a huge challenge. So I just wanted to make sure that I keep my vitality going on. And obviously drinking tons of water and all
so
of that.
I'm so glad you accepted the challenge.
I did accept it. And, occasionally I would go on my phone and look at the picture of the coronavirus as it is. I'm like, okay, my body is going to deal with you, you know, and we'll be okay.
Right.
We'll be okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, I will just take you in. And my body will accept you, and you will deal fine with my body. So I talked to Corona.
Oh, you talked to the coronavirus.
Yes,
that's an excellent, way to do it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I needed to develop, sort of adversity toward the virus or whatever.
Like you said, you're already here.
Yes,
so,
you're already here.
You know,
you're with me, so I will handle you.
And out.
Yes, yes.
That's
yes,
a great
my body will
tip.
Be with you. You know, that's it. I talk to it.
Wow.
And, that might sound like some craziness, but guess what?
Not at all.
That's what my guts tell me, and that's what I do.
Yeah. And you're better for it.
That's it. So.
That's excellent.
Yeah, yeah. So it took, some time, about 2 weeks or so. My wife still had some little issues. She couldn't smell or test for a while, but that's gotten back.
Okay.
You know, yeah, that's gotten back. So that's, my story, know, briefly stated,
Yeah.
It's serious though. It's serious though, that thing. That thing is serious.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I grew in the Congo. I know what malaria is because I suffered from it countless times in my life.
Yeah.
You know, but, corona comes with other type of stuff too. So it's good to be safe when you can.
Yeah.
And if you get it by any chance, just don't panic overly too. I guess that plays an incredible role. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Now, that's to be taken with a pinch of salt. I'm not a scientific or anything like that. I'm just saying what I tried to do and as I could listen to my gut.
Yeah.
And that's what, I wanted everybody in my family to do. And it looks like it helped too.
Yeah. You're all alive and well now.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I thought I would find a meditation to do, a breath awareness mental activity.
Yes.
To help us deal with the stresses in our lives. I would like to do that. It's just a few minutes, no more than 10 minutes. I was wondering if you wanted to add in anything else to our conversation before we, what are you up to for 2021?
Well, I think I want to be more present.
Mm.
That's my personality.
Yeah.
Be present. I think Buddhism teaches us a great lesson.
Yeah.
The past and the future don't belong to us. Let's be here and now. It just makes things easier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not very easy to even understand or perceive, but I believe once that you start paying attention to it, you gradually get to understand what it actually means.
Yeah.
based on, you know, everyday life circumstances.
You know, that's what I noticed in 2020 was the best conversations I had, I was really engaged and present. And I was more aware of when I got so focused on the, you know, if I got nervous, then it took my attention away from the current moment.
Yes.
And so it felt, you know, so I could know, it's very subtle.
Yes, it is subtle.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like I can hear, you know, I hear every conversation I have again. So I not only have them, but I have the opportunity to, you know, you and I to edit and really listen again to find the gems in the conversation.
Yeah.
To put it together in a narrative for the listeners. And through the process, I'm learning, always trying to like refine what I'm doing and making it better.
Yeah.
But that's what I noticed too, like, you know, staying in the present moment.
Absolutely. So that's why we went ahead, Sylvie and I, again, Sylvie is my wife, and we decided to publish music that we've been writing for, what, 10 years at least?
So you'll have the links for me?
I will have the link for you. Okay. All this music is available on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, all these platforms, you know, you name it.
So you can
we released an EP too that came out with three titles, most of which is in Chiluba, which is on, you know, mother tongue. But the beauty of music is that even if you don't understand the word, but you can pick up the vibes.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick up the vibes.
Yeah.
Some of it is very meditative, like what Sylvie's singing. And Sylvie has an incredible voice.
Amazing,
you know, she
voice.
Used to be a choir director. That one is totally a cappella. It's basically her singing and me accompanying her. And the other two songs have instruments in them. They're also on YouTube. So I'll provide a link for people to see, like, subscribe to our little channel and support us.
Yes.
As we are trying to be grateful in this troublesome mom time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, didn't you have a fourth one too? Where it's just you singing? I mean, Sylvie's singing too, but you also, it's a video?
It's a video. We have released
all videos?
Three audios and three videos.
Oh, great.
Yes, and video music.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
More to come, but it, you know, when we shut those in the fall, it kind of started getting cold. It was just no longer possible to do it outside as we wanted to, because we wanted to do it in the nature. So we had to stop. But, you know, come, say, April or so, we're going to release some more.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I could add at this conversation, at least for now.
Yeah. And I'll make sure that the links are there for the listeners so you can listen in.
Yeah.
And I started a yoga and meditation lab on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 to 8:45 on Central Time. And also, I'm starting at the end of January. I think it's January 21st. We mentor Meaningful Conversations Lab. It's every 2 weeks. And I really am trying to help with creating a way through these times by addressing our severe psychological distress. By having meaningful and transformational conversations so that we can stay present with each other, develop long-term relationships with each other for the support that we need going forward. And these conversations will also help each listener with kind of building, with new insights into their building that help with profitability and help with focus and really help with grounding them into the reality of what they can do next so they can hear their intuition and create their future.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's take this moment. And this is a meditation by, I went through it with Amishi Ya. It's focused on a mind activity to guide your breath awareness. It's a practice. This is a meta awareness in particular. It means when the mind wanders, notice it. Meta awareness. you notice when your mind wanders. This might even, you might remember, you know, when you're reading and you're reading along, you're tracking what you're reading, and then all of a sudden you kind of lose focus and you read a paragraph, but you don't remember anything in it. Well, that's what meta-awareness is when you become aware that you have moved the target of your focus, and so you can bring it back in. So you can bring your mind back to the area of today's focus, breath awareness practice, with a flashlight focus. Science of Attention considers breath awareness as a foundational workout for the brain's attention system. So let's start with a posture that supports our attention. It's dignified, you're sitting, it's a posture that's not too rigid and supportive of being attentive. So whether you have your legs crossed and you're sitting on the ground, or you're sitting on a couch, or you're sitting in a chair, or you're sitting behind the wheel of a car that's parked on the side of the road, or anywhere that you are, just notice, just allow yourself to be in a posture that you feel supported in. A posture that can embody a sense of calm, clear attention. The intention for this practice is to wake up and strengthen this beautiful and wonderful capacity to pay attention. So lowering and narrowing our attention. Anchor yourself in your own body. Close your eyes. Sense the body sitting and the body breathing. Experience your body. Take three deliberate, slower, deeper breaths. Inhale. Longer on the exhale. Slowly inhale. Slowly exhale. Slowly inhale. Slowly exhale. Let the breath return to its natural rhythm. Just notice it in and out. It's occurring without our mindful need to control. The breath is the target or object of today's practice. Paying attention to the sitting and breathing. Think about flashlight of attention. Your flashlight is on your breath. Think about which breath sensation feels most prominent or is tied to breathing. This could be the texture and quality of your breath. Is it warm or cool? Is it light or heavy? Steady, smooth, rigid, slow, strained. Notice where the body raises your chest, where your chest raises and expands your belly. Maybe you notice them both at the same time. Direct willfully the flashlight of attention to one of those sensations. So we know we are anchored in our bodies sitting, we have selected an object of our attention. We are orienting our attention on that breath sensation, fully oriented to the undulations in keeping our intentional flashlight pointed fully to experimenting and experiencing the moment-to-moment undulations in our sensory experiences, narrowed around that focus. Now I'm going to bring you into our second system of attention. We are going to use the alerting system to just notice we are keeping our flashlight focus. Notice any mind wandering. It's not a matter of if your mind wanders, it's a matter of when it wanders. Notice when it wanders. The metta awareness probably has happened already. When you do notice, the instruction is very simple. Take that flashlight of attention and bring it back to your focal point, to the breath-related sensations, the target of this practice. You are seated, breathing, focusing, noticing. Breathing, focusing, noticing. Breathing, focusing, noticing. Bring in the third system, the juggler or the executive system. The executive system is watching all of this transpire to support and help us honor our own goal to focus on breath-related sensations. It is a bit of mind management here. We are not on task if our mind is wandering. The task is to bring the flashlight back to its focal point. Re-engage with our breath-related sensations. Breathing. Focusing. Noticing. Has the mind wandered away? Escort it back and begin again. Breathing. Focusing. Noticing. Breathing. Focusing. Noticing. Redirecting all of your attention to this breath awareness practice. Awareness and noticing in what's happening in the mind. If you have a sudden meta moment of losing focus, simply bring your flashlight focus back to your focal point. Nothing more to do. A gentle escort back. Focusing, breathing, noticing, breathing, focusing, noticing. Fully here in this moment, the body is breathing. A few more breaths of breathing, focusing, noticing, giving yourself the gift of this breath awareness practice. Breathing, focusing, noticing. Now slowly open your eyes and release your gaze and your attention. Bring yourself back into the present moment. Breathing, focusing, noticing. With your eyes open and you're ready to begin the next part of your day. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer. Mon frère de notre mère. My brother from another mother. Happy New Year to everybody. See you next week.